The last chapter in the book of John, John chapter number 21. And we're going to read a few verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And so John chapter number 21. And we're going to start reading in verse number 15. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, and I know I've preached out a part of it before, but there's a lot in this chapter. John chapter number 21. And we're going to start reading in verse number 15 down through verse number 22 and what we're preaching on down towards the end of these verses. So John chapter 21 and verse number 15, the Bible said, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." He's talking to Peter there about that he was going to die one day as an older man. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are thankful to be here today and for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And I pray and I ask that you would speak to our hearts from your word. I pray that you would give me the words that I stand in need of. I pray, Lord, most of all for the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, that you would bring to my mind the things that I need to say today. I pray, Lord, more than anything, that you would truly speak to our hearts as we think about the great subject of what it means to really follow you. Lord, we need true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and time in which we live. Lord, the world needs to see what it means to really follow thee. And so I pray that you'd help us today. I pray you give great liberty, and I pray that you would work in our hearts. We'll thank you for all that you do. I ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. And so we're looking at the subject of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus today. And if you look one more time in verse number 22, what the Bible says over there, it said, "Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Now, some of you may know about social media and all the different things there are out there. I don't even know how many. There's a lot of different ways to be on social media, but a lot of what's out there today emphasizes followers. How many followers? Instagram, Twitter. I know you've heard maybe even on the news if you don't know what it is, but these things will be counted by how many followers that they have. But you know, before all of that ever came along in the past, what, maybe 10 years, 8 years, something like that, I don't even know. Long time before that, the Lord Jesus was interested in those that would follow him. The Apostle Paul, for example, he was interested. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse number 1, Paul said, "But be ye followers me, even as I also follow the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul was interested in followers, not just following him, but he said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me in the Bible and the different variations of that. Follow me, or as it says in verse number 22, follow thou me is mentioned 77 times in the Gospels alone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then it's mentioned other places in the Bible as well. Follow me is mentioned the first chapter in the book of John. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Philip, he told Philip, he said, follow me. And then it's mentioned in the last chapter in the book of John, right here, to Peter, the Lord Jesus was talking, and he mentions to him two times about the subject of follow me. It ought to be real easy for us to understand. I mean, who doesn't understand if somebody just says, follow me? I mean, we all probably would say, I understand what that means. I know what that means. But then we might think about it a little more in depth and think to ourselves, well, what does that mean for us? What does that really mean to be a follower of Jesus? And I've heard that lately. It's even been mentioned here at church. And, you know, we use the term Christian. And that might give a false impression to some people what that means. So we use another phrase, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to describe us in our lives, that we would be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many times in the Bible we find the admonition to follow Him, to follow the Lord Jesus. So let's look in the Bible. We're going to give some examples, and we're going to look here in John chapter number 21 just a little bit this morning, of some ways or what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say first of all this morning that this is not the first time that Peter had heard to follow Jesus. Peter was one of the disciples, and he had heard with the other disciples at the very beginning. If we go back to the beginning, we find the Lord Jesus called his disciples. And when the Lord Jesus called his disciples, it was a call to follow him immediately. Not to wait a year or a month or a few days and think about it, but to immediately follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 18, we find the disciples being called there, and the Bible said, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. They didn't take time. They didn't take months to decide. They immediately, the Bible says, when Jesus called them, they immediately forsook their nets. They followed him. You find the same thing in Matthew 9:9. And Jesus saw a man there, his name was Matthew. He saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. When you are saved by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus has called you to follow him. He immediately expects us to begin a life of discipleship, to begin a life of following after the Lord Jesus Christ, not something that should take many, many years. Now, here in John chapter number 21, it is not that Peter had never followed the Lord before. Peter had been following all along. For right around three years now, Peter had been following the Lord Jesus Christ, but something had happened. What had happened? The death of the Lord Jesus upon Calvary had taken place. The burial of the Lord Jesus. And by the time you come to John chapter number 21, it had just been rumored that he was alive. And so that had happened in Peter's life. And if you look all the way back into verse number 3, you'll find that Peter, at this time of the death, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had went back to fishing again. If you look in chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And so that's interesting to me. When we get to the place where we stop following the Lord Jesus, and I hope if you're saved, that you can look at your life and say, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus, but sometimes we stop following. whatever reason it might be. Sometimes we have a great tragedy in our life. Sometimes something sorely disappoints us. Sometimes we might fall into sin for a period of time. But something might happen in our lives and we stop following the Lord Jesus. When you stop following the Lord, you know what you'll do? You'll revert back to what you were doing before. And you might look at somebody like that, and we might look at Peter and say, well, I thought Peter was saved. I thought Peter was a disciple. I thought that Peter was really in there following the Lord. But now it looks like he's reverted back to his former lifestyle, and that's exactly what he done. Peter reverted back. Sometimes we call it being backslidden. Sometimes we call it falling away from the Lord, falling out of fellowship. And so here's what Peter does. Peter had reverted back to what he'd been called out of. Now the Lord comes along. When we stop following, you know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to start following Him again. And that's why the Lord Jesus came to Peter and the other disciples. And let me say, it wasn't just Peter, but there were some others that reverted back. People are watching you. They're watching what you do and how you live. And so it said in verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. He didn't just revert back. Several others did. But the Lord Jesus comes along. The next morning, they'd been all night fishing. They had caught nothing. The Lord did not come along to fire him, but the Lord come along to refire him, to revive him, to get him, we might say. The Lord Jesus came along to get Peter back on his team, to get Peter back on track. And that's what the Lord wants in our lives. He wants us to be back on the right track. And if you look in chapter 21 and verse number 12, what had happened there, they caught nothing all night long. Jesus comes by on the next morning and he says, cast the net on the other side. And they immediately have a great ingathering of fish. And they know, they recognize, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And in verse number 12, they meet on the shore. And the Bible said in verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. When they had that great harvest, they knew that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord came and he gives out the message, come and dine. And the message here in chapter number 21 is not a great rebuke to Peter. He didn't come along to fire him, but he came along. And the message seems to me to be, Peter, you've been following, keep following. Don't revert back to fishing, but continue to follow the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 5 and 1, the Bible says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. When I say to my children, or when you say to your children, or when you say to anybody, follow me, don't you mean for them to do that right then? Not follow me when you feel like it. Not follow me next year or think about it a while, but if we say to somebody, follow me, we mean for them to follow right now. And the Word of God, the message from God's Word to His children over and over and over again is to be followers. To be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to follow immediately. If you are saved by the grace of God, you ought to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately. All the days of our life, we're to follow immediately. Number two this morning, the Lord intends for us to follow closely. We need to follow the Lord closely in our lives, and nobody would understand how important this is more than Peter would. Peter would understand the importance of following the Lord Jesus Christ closely because him lagging behind is what got him in trouble to begin with. On the night they come to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says this about Peter in Mark 14 and verse 54. And Peter followed him afar off. Do you know that's where his problem started? That's where that is how it came about that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how dangerous it is to follow afar off? Peter followed afar off and Peter got in trouble. Do you know when he began to follow afar off, what immediately changed was his circle of influence. He was no longer right in there with the disciples, but he had a whole new circle. In fact, he began to warm himself by the enemy's fire. I think about that. I think about how dangerous it is every time our young people transition from the comfortable life that they know, their family, their church, and as they grow and get older, what happens to them? They move into another circle. They go to high school. They go to college. They get a job. They get out on their own. That is a time, you young people, listen to me, all throughout your life, you need to be careful of how closely you're following the Lord Jesus. Who your circle of friends is. Who you're hanging around. Who is influencing your mind. Who is influencing your heart. Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:21. He said this, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Follow his steps. His steps. Here's a step. Follow in. Follow in. Follow the Lord Jesus. How closely are we following the Lord Jesus? Or are we following afar off? There's lots of examples you could give of following along. We all followed along this morning. How did we do that? We all sang a song together. We picked up our hymn book. We got on the same page. Think about it this morning. We heard the same music. We read the same words. If you know how to read music, you could even not only read the words and you hear everybody else and you hear the music, but you can follow the notes along. That's how we could all follow along together. But have you ever been somewhere and probably in a church service and you didn't pick up the songbook? You said, well, I know that. I know that song. I'll not bother with you. And so the first one, you know, you just go right along and you're singing with everybody else. But gets into the second one and you go, and praise Him. Joyful song. You say, boy, I'm glad the preacher don't do any solos. Well, you just thought you could follow along. What you found out was that it didn't take you long to get off. You got off tune, you got off on the words, you forgot the words, and the next thing you know, everybody else is following along, but you're not following along. If you're going to follow along, if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus, you're going to have to learn to follow in His steps. This is what God says. This is where the Lord Jesus is leading me. This is how to stay on track. The Bible says in, and I say this all the time, I have the radio broadcast, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. And that word, old paths, it means this. It means a well-worn track, a well-worn path. God's Word has laid out the path for us. If we'll stay on that path, that's a good place to be. But you get off the well-worn track, all the saints of God, grandmas, grandpas, saints of God in the Bible, you get off that into some new territory, and I'm telling you, it's not going to be long. You're not going to be following the Lord Jesus. Because His steps are a well-worn, trodden down, easy to see if you'll get in God's Word. God has given us a perfect Bible. You want to follow Him, you've got to get in God's Word. You've got to see where His steps are leading and you've got to follow that. Where people get in trouble is, you can talk about WWJD, what would Jesus do? You can talk about that all day long. But if you don't get in God's Word, you're going to get off track. If you don't follow what He says, you're going to get off track. God asks us, the Lord Jesus asks us to follow Him very closely. That is the only way to get safely through this life is to follow closely the Lord Jesus Christ. When, how do you say that? B.C. in our families before Chloe. You know, when we lived in Idaho, our family, we went skiing. And I taught Abigail how to ski when she was 3 years old. Cutest little thing you ever seen. Looked like the Michelin Man, a miniature. All wrapped up, little old skis about that long. And sometimes we'd be up there skiing and it would start snowing. Well, little kid, they don't weigh enough to get through the snow. But I learned that if I would make her a track, my big tracks, if she would follow in my track, I could get her safely back down where we needed to be. But as soon as she got out of my track and got over there, boy, I'm telling you, it was hard to get her back in the track. She had to learn to follow. Long as she was following, everything went wonderfully. Soon as she got off by herself, it was a hard thing to turn around, get back over there. I'm just saying this morning, it's so much easier just to stay on track. Just to follow closely the Lord Jesus. It ought to be our desire, like a preacher said once upon a time, I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ so closely that I can tell any time He moves so I don't get off track. Follow closely. Follow fully. Number three this morning, I read in Luke chapter number 9, there's three men over there, and it's interesting to study that passage of Scripture. There's three men, and every one of them said these words, I will follow thee. But none of them followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They made the boast, they said the statement, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, I'll follow the Lord. But here's where they messed up. They said, I will follow thee, suffer me first. Let me do something else first. And one man said, I will follow thee, but I bought some oxen and I need to go to the sale. And somebody else said, well, I'll follow thee, but my dad is old and, you know, I'm going to take care of him. And when he dies, I'll get him buried and then I'll follow you. And everybody had an excuse to do something else first. And it ended up none of them followed. That will always mess us up and get us off track when we've got something else first. Lord, I'll follow you. Just let me get through school. Lord, I'll follow you. Just let me get established in my job. I've got to put my career first and I've got to get all my ducks in a row here. Lord, I'll follow you. Just let me get my children raised and let me get them through college and get that paid for. I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. We're not to come to the Lord and say, well, I'll follow you on my terms. We're to follow on His terms. And His terms is to fully follow right now. It says in that same chapter, Luke chapter 9, it talks about that no man is fit for the kingdom of heaven that puts his hand to the plow and looks back. They're not fit for the kingdom of God. If you're going to follow the plow, you've got to follow the plow fully. And I always think about this when I think about the subject of the Bible talking about putting your hand to the plow. My grandpa Greer, he used to grow a garden and I'd go out there and help him plant corn and things and we had a little layoff plow. He told me one time, he said, call me son. He'd say, son, you know how to make a straight row? I said, no, I don't know how to. I mean, if you don't pay attention, it'll look like you was drinking while you was laying out your garden. You'll be all over the place. You'll have one that's 4 foot wide, and you'll have one that's 2 foot wide, and they'll be crooked and going. And so he'd say, son, you got to make it straight. You want your rows to be straight. And he'll say, pick out something out there on the other side and put your eyes on that stick, that tree over there. And say, just keep your eyes on that. Follow that plow, and you got to do it like that. You know, it's Say, follow that all the way to the end and you'll have a straight row. When you get back to the other side, do the same thing. Do the same thing. You can't follow the Lord Jesus looking all over the place. You can't make a straight line. Can you drive down the road? Now, a lot of people try this, and they're looking over in the field. I'm looking for deer. And Kim's watching the road. And if I see something, you know, she'd be like, you need to get back in the road. Because what do? We drift in the direction we're looking. If you see a big old pothole, if you stare at that thing, I guarantee you, you'll hit it. You got to look to the side of it to not hit it. You can't follow the Lord Jesus if you don't have your eyes on Him. He's got to be the one that we continually have our eyes on every morning, every day. We need to ask ourselves, who am I following? Who is directing my life? Where is my priorities today? Am I following the Lord Jesus Christ? I ought to be on Him. My eyes, my heart ought to be on Him like a laser. He's the pointing star in my life. If I keep my eyes on Him, I'll be following Him. If I get my eyes off of Him at any time along the way, I will not be following the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 10, he said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. There should have been no question when Timothy looked at the life of the Apostle Paul, who he was following and what his life was all about. It's about following Him, following Him. We're to follow the Lord Jesus fully. And so we recognize that this morning. Number four, I notice this, we are to follow in company. Now when the Lord came and called the disciples, and we find the disciples with an S on the end. The Lord did not call a disciple. He called the disciples. And you always find them together or in groups of two. He called them together. He sent them out two by two. There were two disciples on the road to Emmaus. A lot of times we talk about the Apostle Paul. We think about the Apostle Paul. But Paul never traveled alone. He never preached alone. He never suffered alone. He was always surrounded by other people. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy. It wasn't just Paul, but it's always Paul and somebody else. God has not called us to be loners. Christianity, church, ministry, pastors, deacons, the whole thing. The Lord set up the whole thing to be a company thing. To be a group, to be disciples together. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And what that is a picture of a roaring lion. The way a lion hunts, he doesn't go after the big buck in the middle of the herd. You know the one he goes after? Let's say this is our company this morning. This is our church. This is a herd of deer. All these little things up here. You know the one he goes after? He goes after the one that's over there by himself. That's how a lion hunts. He finds the straggler. He finds the weak one. He finds the one that is not paying attention. That's easy prey. The lion is lazy. He doesn't want to work any more than he has to. The safest place to be is with everybody else. Be over here with these big pumpkins. You may say, I'm a little acorn, But you get in here with the rest, and that's the safest place you can be. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. As you see the day approaching, you are in trouble when you begin to exile yourself from the family of God, from other Christians, from the church and from the family that God has put you in. That is a very dangerous place to be. God called the disciples. He always kept them together. He never sent them out alone. Alone is dangerous. Satan is an expert of dividing people off, getting people their feelings hurt, their self-conscious about something that nobody else is paying any attention to, and getting somebody off by themselves. They're easy prey. Stay in company with everybody else. Stay in company with God's people. Stay in company with the preaching and the praising and the worship of God. Stay in that company. That's the place to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't find anybody in the Bible a loner, a renegade, independent. God's knit us all together for a reason. There's safety in numbers. Following the Lord Jesus. But you know, here in John chapter 21, when Peter went renegade, he drugged some others off with him. It's dangerous. Follow in company. Follow together. I'm thankful for the saints of God. I'm thankful even in life, other believers, saved people that you run into and have contact with. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Following company together. Last of all, this morning, we're to follow intently the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 19 down through verse number 22. You'll find here, we could say this is how not to follow. This is how not to follow. So the Lord Jesus has come to Peter. He's tried to get his mind and heart right. You know, he's basically said, Peter, I'm not firing you. I know you love me. I want you to feed my sheep. But look what the Bible said in verse number 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. He was talking about Peter. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, did you notice what Peter was doing there? Peter didn't have his eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had told Peter that he was going to die and somebody else was going to carry him where he didn't want to go. He's talking about his death. And Peter, instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter looks over at John. That's the disciple whom Jesus loved. And Peter said, what about him? What about him? And Peter said, or Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Peter, that's none of your business. You follow me. We're so guilty of doing that so many times. Well, what about that church over there? Well, what about so-and-so over there? What about that preacher? What about that family? What about that man? What about that woman? Well, what about them? Jesus said, you just follow me. That's what he was saying to Peter. What about John? What is it our business what the Lord does with his other sheep, with his other servants? Really, most of the time, that doesn't have anything to do with us. What about me? What about me? Follow intently the Lord Jesus Christ. Having our eyes upon Him and upon Him alone, not on everybody else. And to do that takes a concentrated effort by us. I'm telling you, it is so easy to get sidetracked from following the Lord Jesus. Do you know how many things there are pulling at our hearts, pulling at our mind, pulling at our attention, pulling at our emotions, pulling at our physical energy all the time. Something pulling, something pulling. If we don't follow with intent, it's very easy to get distracted. I mean, I'm not belly aching. I'm not moaning. We are where we are in time, and there's nothing we can do about it. Have you ever said to yourselves, well, you watch Little House on the Prairie, man, I'd have liked to live back then. Well, it's easy to say that about a television show. You probably wouldn't like it so much if you had to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom to an outhouse. But you know, we say, well, when people say that, what do they really want? They don't want to live back then. They wish life was simpler. When I grew up, you know, we had one telephone. It stayed in the house. Now most families, everybody in the family has a telephone, and they're all ringing at the same time and beating and tweeting, and all that stuff is pulling at us all the time. TV, computers, all this stuff. Everybody has instant access to us most all the time. And if you allow it, you'll be pulled here and pulled there. If we're going to follow, man, we got to follow with a on-purpose attitude. I'm following the Lord. I'm following the Lord. My quiet time, my time with the Lord is my time with the Lord. It's not negotiable. Now, if you got a baby crying, you got to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? We got to follow the Lord Jesus like a hunter follows a trail. And some people don't like the illustrations, but some of you understand what I'm talking about when I say that. I have been hunting before, and you try to find that creature, whatever it was, and I've had to get down on my, and I'll look and I'll look and I'll say, I can't see where it went. But when I would get down on its level and I would look from its perspective, I could say, there's a branch. There I can see a place where a foot was in the leaves. There I can see. And boy, I'm telling you, it can take hours and hours to find what you're looking for. But you won't find it just walking around in the woods. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is not something that any of us are just going to do accidentally when we wake up in the morning. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to follow Him. Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. But then at the end of that, He said, follow me. Don't worry about everybody else, Peter. Just follow me. And so later on in Peter's life, he said those words, that we should follow in His steps. He knew what he was talking about. Paul said this, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had that laser type attitude in following the Lord Jesus. I want to follow Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. I'd like for us to have our eyes closed, our heads bowed this morning. I'm going to ask our ladies to come.